Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we'll go from head to toe on a show about the human body. Comedian Matt Knutson returns with another edition of the APS News. Hannah Gansen sings her absurdist tunes. And desert tripper Joshua Sherstad performs his philosophical folk. You think the audience knows that I'm short?
It's radio. They can't see you.
Yeah, but does my voice sound short?
Read the intro. Let me see.
All right. This week on American Parlor Songbook, we explore the...
Yeah, you sound tiny. Just try it like a little bit deeper.
This week on American Parlor Songbook...
People are going to think I'm married to a pixie. Manlier, go.
We'll fight our way to the heart of the world's most dangerous ape.
That's better.
With absolutely huge comedian Matt Knutson.
Now more testosterone.
And dominating human machine Hannah Gansen will kill with every joke.
And bring it home.
And colossal singer Joshua Sherstad. All this week on Man Parlor Smash Time Show Now.
Perfect.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Hey, thank you, folks. And as always on the other microphone, I may have finally convinced her that I'm stupid on purpose, Julie Van Dusen. The human body. 100 or 2 pounds of bone, muscle, tendons, veins, ligaments, blood, and lots of brains. Sometimes there's less brains, I guess. Actually, it's mostly water, the human body, like 60% water, which validates the colloquialism that he's a tall drink of water, right? I guess that makes me something like a fishbowl full, I don't know. Yes, we do come in all shapes and sizes, short, tall. From the shortest at 22 inches to the tallest ever, almost 9 feet. From less than 5 pounds at our most pocket-sized up to 1,400 pounds at our girthiest. A game of teeter-totter that could only end in catastrophe. Or the new record for the highest human. Actually, that might go to Keith Richards. I don't know. I do know that we contain about 60,000 miles of blood vessels, enough to wrap all the way around the entire planet a few times. And we've got 25 feet of intestines, which is a lot to digest.
Stand upright, twiddling your thumbs as you do, sound and sight, and you got a voice you can say. Yeah, you got the world on a string, walking around in this thing that is you.
Every last one of us started inside two different bodies. That's right, just bits of info at first, bouncing around a couple of randy parents. And when these strains of info commingle, when they commingle, it begins, right? Cells start dividing, following a genetic map. And in a matter of months, the basics are there. You know, although sporting that giant oversized noggin that sticks around for the first year or two. Your very own dependent bobblehead. We don't do much but grow in those early days, right? Food in, food out, grow. And generally googly eye around at everything. And doubling in weight inside of 5 months. We doubled in 5 months. A feat I wouldn't repeat again until that summer at the fudge shop. But those babies, they do it on nothing but milk and the occasional mushy apples. Growing faster and faster. Learning too, right? By the time they're 8, the average kid knows 10,000 words. That's enough to fill a decent novel without repeating a word. Let me try it. It was the best of times. It was the best of times. I guess I'm out.
Stand upright, twiddling your thumbs as you do, sound and sight, and you got a voice you can say. Yeah, you got the world on a string, walking around in this thing that is you.
And they grow on unabated for a good 25 years, stabilizing for about 15 years there in the middle of it. And then it starts going again, growing around the middle, up the forehead, out the ears, growing and falling apart at the same time. You see, our cells are replaced by perfect clones of themselves until about middle-aged, and then they say, nah, we can phone this in from now on. They start duplicating with the accuracy of a 1970s library loaner cassette recorder. Before you know it, your knees are around your ankles. Yes, the body turns to garbage pretty fast, but at least the mind can still grow. The mind can still grow. Lots of room in the old attic for bright ideas and expansion. We tend to think of our minds as separate from our bodies, though, like our minds are above the body, you know, sort of floating around, steering the body from a set of controls. But really, it's all one thing, right? The mind is the body. The conversation goes both ways, through those pathways, electric impulses, nerves, tasting, touching, smelling, yeah, definitely smelling.
Stand upright, twiddling your thumbs as you do, sound and sight. And you got a voice you can say, yeah, you got the world on a string, walking around in this thing that is you.
And it is a marvel, this thing we all drag around for the better part of a century. A pretty long life, all told. Save for some turtles and a couple other sea creatures, we got a pretty good deal. Who's got 80-plus years and opposable thumbs? This monkey. So, we're going to study it this week, the human body. See if we can't use your ears for some songs, a story, maybe a few tunes. Stick around. I tied your shoelaces together.
Stand upright, twiddling your thumbs as you do, sound and sight. And you got a voice you can sing. You got the world on a string, walking around in this thing that is you.
Now, as always, if you're offended by something you hear on the program this week, you can tweet me directly at @JPHouston, and you'll be promptly ignored. Now, from around the corner and around the world, it's the APS News with Matt Knutson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Matt Knutson, and this is the APS News. This week, a man in Iowa was arrested after dining and dashing at a local Applebee's. The officer released the man a short time later without charges, saying, quote, "The suspect just ate a meal at Applebee's. He's already been punished enough." Speaking of meals, a New Jersey man died recently when he contracted a rare disease from eating the brains of several squirrels. Reportedly, the man's last words were, quote, "The only thing I regret more than eating the squirrel brains is people finding out that I ate squirrel brains." In France this week, people had the scare of their life when a racehorse bucked the jockey and ran into a trackside bar. Upon entering the bar, the horse immediately defied the age-old axiom and ordered a water. In Ohio this week, an Uber driver found out that his wife was cheating on him when he coincidentally picked her up with her new boyfriend. The couple immediately filed for divorce once the wife found out that her husband drove for Uber. The wife plans to take him for half his gum. For the first time ever, a combined Mega Millions lottery jackpot has swelled to over $1.5 billion. While lottery officials encourage people to buy tickets, they also remind everyone that the odds of winning are 300 million to one. So in all likelihood, they'll still have to be nice to people. Speaking of money, in Thousand Oaks, California, a woman was apprehended after stealing over $1,000 from local area Coinstar machines. When arrested, the woman insisted that she was not a thief. She was merely an activist and taking the change she wanted to see in the world. Last weekend, New York City went without a shooting for the first time in over two decades. To celebrate, several New York residents shot people. In Toronto, a man was arrested after assaulting several people at a Medieval Times and later getting naked and jumping into a shark tank at the Ripley's Aquarium. True. Police said that the man was easy to apprehend after they searched his history on Groupon. This week, the Norfolk-based ship USS Harry Truman became the first naval carrier to enter the Arctic Circle in over 30 years. Captain Walter Rogers told reporters that it was exciting to see the Arctic Circle at least once before it no longer exists. In Illinois this week, a man was ordered to pay his neighbor's vet bills after his dog jumped over their shared fence and impregnated his dog. The neighbor claims that his dog is not the father of the puppies and says he can prove it with one simple visit to the Maury Povich show. And lastly this week, a Virginia man was arrested and charged with selling cocaine, heroin, and marijuana. During the police interview, officers also made a note about the man's, quote, aggressive flatulence, proving once again that whoever smelt it, dealt it. The man claims he's totally innocent, which proves whoever denied it has supplied it. I'm Matt Knutson, and that has been the American Parlor Songbook News.
Matt Knutson, another edition of the APS News. This episode of American Parlor Songbook is made possible with support from Sky Park at Santa's Village, a North Pole-themed adventure park in Lake Arrowhead, California. Archery, biking, zip lining, and more, open year-round and decorated for the holiday season. Information at skyparksantasvillage.com. Stick around, we'll be right back. American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Mrs. Thomas. Wake up, Mrs. Thomas. You're in the recovery room now.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was quick.
No, it's 5 p.m.
I've been out all day?
No. Not if you count the trip to the administrator's office, no.
I don't remember going to the
administrator's. It's all right. You need rest. I just wanted to check and make sure you're doing fine.
Actually, I'm a little bit sore.
Well, that's to be expected, right?
But why does my stomach hurt?
Yes, the stomach operation was a total success.
I was here for my toe.
No, we went the long way.
In my head?
The really long way.
If there were complications, that you need to tell me about them.
It's all in the release form that you signed in the administrator's office.
But I wasn't at the administrator's office.
Well, then where did I get this Polaroid from?
Are you puppeting my hand?
Why would I be puppeting
Are those googly eyes taped to my face?
No, you're just really excited to be signing that malpractice waiver there.
Did you weekend at Bernie's me?
Are you implying that I accidentally performed the wrong surgery and then carried out some kind of elaborate comedy farce-style scheme to cover my tracks?
Well, if the shoe fits.
I'm afraid your shoe may not fit anymore.
So you didn't fix my toe?
I may or may not have had the wrong chart, but don't worry. Everything worked out and the wrong surgery was a total success.
Okay, just tell me what happened.
It's just technical minutia, Mrs. Thomas. You gotta get some rest first.
Doctor, I'm starting to lose my patience.
Yes, that's been happening a lot lately to me, too.
Okay, either you explain to me why my stomach hurts and my head feels like it's been in a vice grip, or I'm going to get my lawyer in.
Settle down. It's not a big deal. Look, it's like this. There was a Mrs. Tom's son who was scheduled for her tonsils.
So why does my stomach hurt?
Well, because Mrs. Tom Lynn was scheduled for an appendectomy.
And my head?
The tonsils. After performing the tonsillectomy, we discovered we had the wrong chart, right? Whoops. So we corrected the error, and we performed Mrs. Tom's son's appendectomy. But the good news is, you're now totally appendix and tonsil-free.
I feel like you're trying to put lipstick on a pig.
Oh, I see you're familiar with my academic work.
The idiom.
I'm no idiot, Mrs. Thomas. I hold a degree from the Real University of Ecuador.
Never mind.
Good. So it's all settled. I'm glad we could come to some kind of peaceful, non-litigious conclusion here.
All right, so let me guess. Mrs. Tomlin got my toe.
Oh, that's inside Mrs. Thompson.
It's inside of her?
A toe looks a lot like an appendix in the right light.
At least the good news is I'm out of the woods.
Yes, the woods. Out of them, of course, yes.
Is there something you're not telling me?
Only a very, very, very little something. Just a little oops when we were closing you up. Did I leave something behind? Yes. Is it perfectly harmless? Maybe.
Sutures?
Bigger.
A sponge?
A little bigger.
A scalpel?
Don't worry, Mrs. Thomas. Just rest. You're going to be fine, I promise. Just lie back, close your eyes, and open your mouth really wide. My phone's ringing, and I should probably answer it. We're always happy when our next guest can join us on the program. An interesting, philosophical singer-songwriter from Joshua Tree, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Sherstad.
Well, thanks. I'm going to play you a ballad that written a little while ago. Thank you.
protects what it hides and respects what it chooses not to see. When it looks away, I try to warn you, but you wouldn't see. Took all that I had to tell you, but you wouldn't hear me. Why?
Another great song from Joshua Schristow. It's been a while since we had this next group on the program. One of our favorites, ladies and gentlemen, the Black-Tongued Bells.
To Memphis late last night. I met me a woman so sweet. She looked like a flower after the rain, a fragrant and beautiful thing. She sat in the corner all by herself. Her finger was bearing no ring. I got up from my chair and I walked across the room. She shied when I asked her her name. Lily, Miss Lily, how do you do? I say you're looking so fine. Would you oblige me in a song and a dance? Should I be so lucky to? Her silky white skin was enticing. She smelled so desirably clean. When I caught a glimpse down the front of her dress, why, my legs, they went all shaky and weak. Lily, how do you do? I say you're looking so fine. Would you oblige me in a song and a dance? Should I be so lucky tonight? Oh, give me some luck, boys.
Oh.
let me see if that done it. She offered a seat at her table. I called out to freshen her drink. I was wearing my best, so perfectly pressed. A three-piece with button-down sleeves. She gave me a smile so pleasing. She fussed with the fall of her hair. Oh, the lamp up above shone a light on her face. She was so undeniably fair. Lily, Miss Lily, how do you do? I say you're looking so fine. Would you oblige me in a song and a dance? Should I be so lucky to
everybody, let's hear it for him. School was an excruciating, paint-drying, head-against-the-desk-banging slog. Watching the minute hand slowly drag time up the hour like Sisyphus and his dumb rock, every afternoon the same thing. Listening to the Charlie Brown trombone teacher whine on and on and on, batting away spitballs from the dumb kid across the room. You were bound there by law, strapped in tight to learn against your will until 3 p.m. And there was only one way out. Get sick. Oh, I loved weekday television, mostly because it meant I wasn't at school. The Price is Right, oily Bob Barker and his 3-foot pencil-thin microphone. It was back when dish soap was 50 cents and stiff Barbie doll ladies showcasing the showcase stood around looking pretty. And well, the color saturation was up to 100% and the lapels were up to 150%. I suspect if a man in 1979 ran too fast, he'd take off. Disease had a field day in our overcrowded city classrooms. A single lice could hop from kid to kid and take out the whole school. We'd have to line up in the hall for head checks and even TB tests. And then, well, in the winter, it was a mucus battlefield, kids dodging sneezes like volleyballers. With all those loose, uncovered sneezes and hacks out there, the flu flew. My mother was nervous. If you were looking for a sustainable energy source back then, harnessing her worry probably would have been a game changer. Her worry we'd be sick was only outfretted by her worry that we'd miss school and flunk out. So to get away with it, I took to chewing up oatmeal cookies and making Ralph sounds, and well, the old heat up the thermometer trick on the lamp routine. And 1 week, harvesting backyard insects in a phony lice infestation scheme. Yes, I was willing to put bugs in my hair to watch the Merv Griffin show. Contagious, but not sick, was the best kind of school misser. You see, they couldn't let you in the door, but you were just itchy. So you could still play. And once my parents were gone for work, well, I had no qualms about infecting the neighbors, covered in bugs, riding up and down the hills, delivering infestation like a cruel paperboy. Our house was stacked children deep like flapjacks. not just the ones my parents made, but, well, every kid in the neighborhood trotting in and out of that place. And, well, it was a three-bedroom, semi-detached brick petri dish. But we were tougher back then, back in the halcyon pre-hand sanitizer golden age, when you could touch raw chicken without diving for cover, and when your can-cutting Ginsu knife could go straight to an onion and not salmonella kill the whole family. In just a few years, everybody'd freak out and start doing dishes in hazmat suits. But for now, we were safe to ride our helmetless skinny skateboards straight into an E. coli pond if we saw fit. Sister Nikki was the first to go down, a single red dot between her Christy McNichol bangs. And by the next day, she was red-riddled like a Godfather hit. She was immediately quarantined out of the three shared bed and cordoned off on her own. Don't touch your sister, she's contagious. Well, realistically, Mom, she's been contagious all along. Just stay away from her, or I'll get what she's got, and I'll miss a week of school. In the Canadian classroom, we were being Clockwork Orange tortured by our gentle ex-hippie teachers. Out behind the school, there was a bin filled with discarded traditional folk songs. A lonely she'll be coming around the mountain, a dejected on top of Old Smoky. When those Woodstockers became our teachers, they threw the lot of them out and they forced us to sing Gordon Lightfoot songs. I can still, to this day, tell you more than I should know about Lake Gitche-Gumee. I saw those red dot chicken pox as a surefire way out. And easy time, too, a few itches, big deal. A fair trade for a week of hot dogs and Flintstones reruns. Oh, don't touch your sister. Sure, I won't touch my sister when you're looking. The defense was tight. Separate rooms, strict bathtub order, staggered meal times. I looked for a way around the laundry. Oh, yes, that unguarded clothes pile in the basement. I'm just going to go down and listen to some records, slip down the stairs, turn up Billy Joel for cover, and dive in the pile, roll around, hoping for some secondhand stray germ or two. Nothing. The clock was ticking. Once those dots dried up, I'd be out of luck. Stuck back in the classroom at the bottom of the great lake they call Gitche-Gumee. I tried rubbing my face on the doorknob to the quarantine room, and nothing. Those chicken pox had bounced around the house and itched out five siblings without so much as a spot on me. Near misses as I reached for a sip from a discarded juice box smacked out of my hand just in time by my eagle-eyed mother. You know, Warden, you can't be everywhere always. If you so much as blink, I'll be into those sweet, sticky germ juices faster than you can say Andromeda strain. And then I saw it. A window in the security. All I had to do was stay awake long enough. I lay up in bed, toothpicks propping my eyes open, because I knew, after an hour of Dom DeLuise laughing it up on The Tonight Show, my dad would shut off the set, go upstairs, and hit the hay. I slithered out of the bed and listened carefully at the vent. Da-da-da-da-da, click. Then the stairs, creak, click, lights out. Make your move, kid. Make it count. I commando crawled down the hall up to the forbidden door and gingerly creaked it open, just enough to snake through against the wall. Creak, shh, shh, shh. Careful, careful, careful. And as gentle as a Bob Ross stroke, I brushed against my sister's arm. The dull sun broke the brown blinds and hit my sleep-stuck eyes in the morning. I heard the kitchen below in early action. Another day in the day school, Peter, Paul, and Mary doldrums. Peel back the covers and yawn and stretch and scratch. Was that a scratch or a scratch? A scratch or a scratch? Scratch scanned down my arm past the three-week-old stick-on anchor tattoo. Freckle, 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 spot. Thank contagious Jesus, a genuine bona fide chicken pox spot. Free at last, I ran down the hall to my mom. See, see, chicken pox. Have fun at work, Mom, chicken pox. And then, like a pathetic infected king with a big bowl of ice cream, Bob Barker on the big square TV box, and a week of the most terrible, excruciating, burning, itching, and tingling, worth every scratch.
Fading down for a day out of class, catch a case for a 7-day pass. Pox and scratch. cars and playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And we're back here at American Parlor Songbook. Now, this week we're talking about the human body, but here to talk about some different kinds of bodies, our friend, comedian Hannah Ganson.
It's funny when somebody wants to call you honey or call you baby doll and treat you as such as a hollow human figure with no brains or soul. No, I'm not your baby, and don't you call me no chick. I'm a chicken and a finger licking, and your comments make me sick. Oh, I'm not just a leg, a breast, a thigh. I'm the main ingredient of chicken pot pie. I'm not just a piece of meat to grill or fry, and I'm tired of being objectified. Ruffing my feathers, stop being a creep. I got full color vision and a dream in my sleep. I'm not just a 12-piece bucket in your kitchen. Respect this chicken. When you have a fear of chickens called electrophobia, and why did the chicken cross the road to get away from you? My chicken heart beats 100 times a minute, and I walk to the beat of my own drumstick. On eggs I be sitting, while roosters they be tidbitten. Don't lock me up in a cage when I can lay up to 7 eggs in a day. When the hen clucks or the rooster crows, you listen. Respect this chicken. With am I have you and hunt for eggs on Easter, and why does a rooster crow but a crow doesn't rooster? I can't fly yet, I be flying free range, that's my style, and in one way we're kind of the same, cause we both be foul. Yeah, you might have noticed my confidence in that I'm better than you. It's cause I got high self-esteem, I'm a little cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, let me just remind you, if your memory be hazy, this Pollo's Loco KFC since you're kind of freaking crazy. So the next time you do drive through for that chicken snack for a buck, I'm DTC, I'm down to cluck.
Hi, I'm Tammy Pekanowski. Just passing through, eh? Need a place to stay, but don't want to stay at a Super 8 with a pool you won't use because you got no t-shirt to wear over your trunks? And don't want to stay at a Motel 6 for $40 because that's about 330 packs of Busch Light? Well, we got the place for you. Motel 5. Don't let its cracked windshield and rusted exterior fool you. And on the inside is all you need. A back seat to sleep in, plenty of cup holders, and a tiny ashtray stuffed full of cigarette butts. Just leave $5 in the glove box, and it's yours for the night. Motel 5. Look for the red truck with no tires next to the white shed that has lots of shady-looking visitors and smells like nail polish remover. This has been Tammy Pekanowski with Motel 5. We leave the light on for you, but the battery's dead. This next song is about this.
Sometimes it feels like you're less than others. When you're missing 7 tentacles. But please don't doubt that I've got heart. In fact, I've got 3, don't tear them apart. Sure, at times it sucks to be an uno puss, but so do my 1 tentacle suction cups. I might be down in the sea, but that don't leave it like if you'd be down. I can use shells that I find as tools, camouflage myself to hide from hungry fools. Don't waste your pity on me, I'm no wuss, I'm an uno puss. Life is crazy, strange and odd. You got adapt when you're a cephalopod. Just cause the blood's blue don't mean I'm too.
Got plenty of ink, but not a single tattoo. Yeah, I got a beacon, I can speak of no choice, but I know Ursula to watch her voice. Yeah, I'm venomous and better can jet amongst the coral reefs. I got my courage and my bravery, not afraid to pick a bone even though I don't have any cause I'm an invertebrae. I'm an Uno puss. Sure, I might have a short lifespan, and when I was an egg, my mama died of starvation, and my daddy died a few months after he made it. Sure, I might have one tentacle, but it's better than having none at all. I'm just waiting for my other seven tentacles to be regenerated. Yeah, I'm not a cuttlefish, and I'm a squid. Octopus have been around since the Cretaceous period. I'm intelligent, yeah, I know how to use my bulbous head. Yeah, I'll hunt for crabs and mollusks, but I won't say bullocks. That's how British people cuss. Yeah, eight is great, but I'm number one. I'm an Unopus. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hannah Ganson and her crazy songs. We have enough time for one more song from our friend Josh Sherstad.
Celebrations and revelries. I saw a portrait I often see. I saw the man inside the child. He had a face devoid of joy, cause he was old since he was a boy. He grew old very suddenly and spent the rest of his life that way. The kid's high is like eternity, so I don't have to end up that way. Like a tourniquet, gonna play until I feel this way, like I was hearing it far away, as though I was so incredibly high, like I was hearing it far away, with my mind on my nose.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website,
Wendell.
AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell!
Martha, I was sleeping. You may have just interrupted the best dream I've ever had.
Really? Well, I guess I'm curious enough for the condensed version.
You and I were 50 years younger. We were dancing like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers floating effortlessly across the ballroom, with all our friends, family, industry insiders, all watching on in amazement, all there to honor my life's work and composition.
Well, first of all, 50 years younger would make me a toddler. And second of all, your dream is about to come true.
I'm going to be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award?
No, that would be ridiculous. No, I'm going to be in the prime of my youth tomorrow by 2 p.m.
Is there a DeLorean parked outside?
There's a limo in the morning.
Taking you where?
For a seriously discounted facelift.
Martha, it's too risky at your age.
I've already told you, I'm barely 50.
I've seen your birth certificate.
Really? Look at it. It's right here. See, it says 1968.
Yes, written in crayon.
So I fudged it a few years.
Decades.
Years, decades, who cares? The point is, you are as young as you feel. And look.
You said discounted. Who is this doctor?
Almost doctor.
Almost?
Student, doctor, what's the difference? A stamp on the degree.
You're going to let an unlicensed medical student perform a facelift.
But there isn't that much to it. It's about as complicated as putting away a bowling ball. You drop it in the bag and you pull the handles tight.
Handles?
Handles, ears, as long as the bowling ball looks younger.
It's like that time you hired a paralegal to defend you in court.
He was basically a lawyer.
Really? Did he pass the bar?
No, of course not. He walked right in and he bought a double.
No, the bar.
Oh, you mean the limbo competition? No, that wasn't until later at the luau. And yes, he passed right under it.
Lawyers and limbo aside, a medical procedure is a more serious business, Martha.
Well, we can't afford a full doctor. I had to take out a second mortgage just to cover the discount price.
Martha, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, it's not like your one-hit novelty song is bringing in the big residuals anymore.
Disco Chicken paid for this condo, I'll have you know.
Yes, but my beautiful face paid for the renovations.
Then now the condo is paying for the renovations on your face.
And my face will bring in enough for a bigger place.
There's nothing wrong with your face the way it is, Martha.
If I turn my head quickly, the waddle arrives 3 seconds later.
That's cute.
It's like a turkey running in slow motion.
But, Martha, I like the way you look. It shows you've lived.
Yes, but I want to be young.
Martha, look at that face. Look, in the mirror here, look. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yes, I see a baseball mitt with eyes looking out.
Oh, nonsense. It's still you in there, just with the lines to prove it.
Mm. All right, I'm listening.
You see those folds there on either side of your lips?
You mean these dangly pork chops?
No, those are from all the smiles. A million of them. Laughing smiles, celebratory ones. You remember when you stole Charles Nelson Reilly's toupee?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Yes, and we laughed and we laughed.
Yes, we did.
Well, that's those right there, written on your face.
Hmm.
And these soft crinkles by your eyes here.
Like a dry riverbed.
Like a delicate story of how we cried when we lost the house.
Hmm. Yes, that's sad.
But how we pulled together and made a comeback.
Our determination.
Yes, that's these furrows there on your brow. Forever etched as a testament. Proof that you lived. That you laughed, cried, fought, won, starred.
Starred, yes. Yes, I got these jowls from my famous horror movie screens.
Exactly. And when I see you now, all these years later, I see it all. And it's more beautiful than any pulled-tight Hollywood face there is.
That's nice, Wendell. You really think I'm still beautiful?
Of course. Even more beautiful. What's a young face but an empty canvas for life to paint on? It's not beautiful until the picture is painted.
Look, Wendell, look. The little dimples on my cheeks.
Yeah.
Yes, these are from the day we met. I saw you and I smiled for hours and hours and hours.
And I've been smiling ever since. Please, dear, don't change that beautiful face tomorrow. I want us to remember it all, every single line.
All right, you smooth talker. You did it. I feel pretty again.
Good. Now we can get some beauty rest and dream of some memories.
Yes, but not before you sing me my song.
Of course, dear. Your lullaby.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.